Hey, yo, what's going on, y'all? It is the one, the only, the hood rat with the heart of gold himself, Cortez Washington, and this is Gaming While Black. Let's get to it. First things first, you know how we start off every episode. Let me talk about some of the games I've been playing. So, real talk, I didn't realize how much of a short attention span I had because I've honestly completed, I think, about five different games campaigns. And that's not to say that I do games really quick. No, I just hop back into games I was playing for a long time. And then it's kind of funny. I just stopped. I just was like, nah, I'm off this shit. And so I hop back in them. And it turns out I only have like 3 or 4 hours left of gameplay until the campaign is complete. So like in the past, I say like 2 weeks or so, I've completed at least five to six different campaigns. And it's actually pretty funny. And the weird thing is, like, I remember I used to love like just sinking myself into one game, but I think I just have so much variety and so many options with like Game Pass and just like cheap ass sales of Steam. I just got a new gaming PC, which I'm happy about. And I'm just overloaded with like new games that keep coming out that are pretty dope. And then old games that I've like started and then stopped. I have a big habit of doing that with like Ubisoft games. I don't know why, but yeah. I've completed like five or six stories. So pretty proud of myself. Been knocking them off my hard drive, freeing up a lot of space for the new shit that's coming out. One game I'm really anticipating sinking time into that's coming out in the near future is Biomutant. I'm really looking forward to playing that shit, like for real. Like, and I hope it don't let me down because I will be very heartbroken. But that got me thinking, like, you know, like one thing that I've really like sink a lot of time into when it comes to like a particular game type, it's like single player games. And I really want to talk about that on today's episode. So with each new year, we always face a new threat in the gaming world, or as companies like to call it, trends. We've survived the mid-2000s post-apocalyptic wave when HD gaming was first introduced to the consoles. We've survived the surplus of Metroidvanias that came from indie developers and everyone around there. We've survived the Battle Royale wave when every game included a Battle Royale mode. We even had to work up the courage to fend off the mobile app integration era. And I'm specifically talking about how you had to take care of your damn dog in GTA 5. So with all those different experiences and those different quote unquote trends that have been introduced within the gaming world, one thing that I've seen that has never gone away is that single player experience. And honestly, I think it's because to keep it funky and simple, single player games have been as much of a foundational component of gaming as multiplayer gaming has. Single player games have pushed the industry to what it is now, in the same way that multiplayer gaming has, to make it more mainstream, you know? Like, in the early days of, like, arcade machines and other games like that, like, there would be games like Pac-Man or different games like that that were technically single-player games but had, like, multiplayer options, so people would take turns. But it was honestly a single-player experience. And we didn't see, like, a huge boost in the multiplayer experience until like software and hardware development evolved to handle multiplayer games. And then we started seeing like the major boom of the multiplayer arcade machines. And there's always been like this, I don't know if it's like a marketing ploy or like a media buzz technique, that they like to put out this idea of single player games are dying, or there's a death to single player games. And I just want to know, why do they always say stuff like that? You know, it's really weird that they want to put that out there in the world and speak that into existence, because like this is a main, like I feel like the trifecta of gaming would be the single player games, multiplayer games, and then like, I don't know, the lore behind it or like the fan base, you know. And it's funny that they say that, like, single player games are dying out, or the death of single player games, due to like certain different, I mean, and there are like different instances, what I'll talk about in a second, but like single-player games still sell a shit ton of copies. Like, The Last of Us 1 and 2, the Uncharted games, all those, like, a lot of those heavy-hitting Sony games are single-player experiences. And people love that shit, you know? Now, don't get me wrong. There are definitely a lot of the bigger companies that are trying to transition to having more profitable games, such as like live service games, in comparison to single player games that are basically one and dones, unless you throw in more money for a DLC or like an expansion experience or something around that nature. But they know that single player games are still the heart and soul of the gaming experience. Majority of the games that have been touted as the greatest games of all time have been majority single player experiences. Some of the biggest companies started off making the best single player game experiences so they can get folks to buy in. And now they're slowly transitioning to that live service experience. Perfect example of a company that's doing this right now is Rockstar. Rockstar Games are the big dogs when it comes to single player experiences. They have made some of the greatest games I've ever played in my lifetime and definitely got me engulfed in those experiences. And has slowly but surely incorporated a lot of multiplayer game modes just to test out how well a fully multiplayer live service experience would be in their biggest franchises. To the point now that they honestly don't need to release another game because GTA Online makes millions of dollars every day. And they're trying to put Red Dead Online at the forefront and make sure that is pulling in as much money as GTA Online. And that's the reason that they were actually selling Red Dead Online as a separate option instead of buying Red Dead Redemption 2. And getting that, you could buy Red Dead Online for like $5. It was for a short period of time. I believe now it's like $20. But for a while, you can just buy Red Dead Online for $5. And the funny thing was, like, it's like 120 gigs or something like that. So it's going to take up a good chunk of your hard drive. But yeah, that was one thing that they're doing right now. And while I get it, like, they experimented with Grand Theft Auto Online. At first it was buggy and shit. Long story short, it was just complete shit. And now it's decent. It's decent. I'm going to keep it funky. But they pull in so much damn money that it makes sense that they're transitioning to that. But not every company has been able to do that live service transition and definitely should have stuck with the single player experiences because that's what they're best at. Bethesda should have never released Fallout 76. That whole rollout for that first year and a half was a shit show. That's all I'm gonna say about Fallout 76. Elder Scrolls Online was a little better. It wasn't developed by Bethesda. They use a lot of their IP of Elder Scrolls and the elements of that Tamriel and that world. But it was developed by ZeniMax, like the parent company. But even that rollout of that like live service MMORPG experience was kind of bad. You know, like some worlds or some aspects of the worlds were capped off to a level and a lot of stuff was like basically like paywall, like blocked by a paywall. They got rid of like the online subscription, like the monthly subscription service. They do still have expansion packs and you can buy like different cosmetics and things of that nature. But all in all, they like completely revamped it. It's called like Tamriel Unlimited or something like that now. And so now it's just open. Like you can start the game off and just go in any direction that you want to without having a level cap and things of that nature. But not even like the live service or the MMORPG experiences cause issues. Sometimes it's just introducing multiplayer in general. This is the last thing I'm going to say about Bethesda, and I'm going to stop talking about them motherfuckers. Wolfenstein Youngbloods, I haven't played it, but a lot of folks said it felt hollow because they just kept trying to hammer in that multiplayer experience. Like it was basically a game built for multiplayer from the ground up. And I think that a lot of folks didn't like it. I haven't played it. I feel like I shouldn't play it by myself, but I ain't got no homies that want to play it. So hopefully I will one day and give y'all my honest opinion on it. But, you know, sometimes some people do stick to their single player experiences, but they start to introduce a lot of the free to play aspects of those single player experiences and start to basically fuck up their franchises. You already know who I'm about to talk about. I'm about to talk about Ubisoft. How they've done a lot of their games more recently, they have been heavy on the microtransactions or like the time saver packs for their Assassin's Creed games to like help you level up faster, which has been kind of predatory, you know, like this means that they know that their game is padded and bloated full of too much content. And it is going to take you a long time to basically upgrade your character and make it as dope as you want to be. So instead of you having to go through that bullshit grind that they've introduced that they know is long and super repetitive and time consuming, they're like, hey, you could pay $5 and skip all that shit and get bumped up a couple levels and get some more items and more weapons and blah, 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 you know. And it's kind of fucked up, you know, because like, how are you going to introduce that in a single player game? I'm not even playing with folks. You know, if I was playing a game that had me doing multiplayer shit, I would understand. But this doesn't have that. This is something that's completely singular, you know, like Assassin's Creed games. There aren't no multiplayer experiences in those. Actually, there have been. There have been like multiplayer modes, but it isn't like you grind up this character and they're the best character to put online unless you were doing Assassin's Creed Unity, which that rollout was pretty bad. But yeah, that's just some things that are very much predatory that they're doing right now with their single player experiences. They're trying to have like kind of like the best of both worlds to a certain extent. They're trying to have you still buy the $60 game and then throw in a little bit of money here and there for the microtransactions to make you feel like this was worth all this investment. But in the long run, like if you do grinding and do all the time, instead of beating like the main campaign with all like the side quests and like, I think with the time savers, it might be like 40, 50 hours. You'll play like 100 hours. And that's honestly getting your money's worth out of that game. Even though there's been a lot of like shady things that's been going on with like how people are approaching the single player experience now, trying to either push you towards live service or incorporate live service or free to play aspects to single player games. There's still a lot of games that are still true to themselves and being a wholehearted single player experience. First example of it is Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. That was a great game and it was amazing how much time and effort and energy was put into this game and keeping it 100% single player and 100% non-predatory. And I wish honestly they had DLC because I would buy DLC for that shit because it was super fun and super challenging and wanted you to be engrossed and engaged in the story. Even though I just shit on Ubisoft, Immortals Fenyx Rising was pretty dope. They did have some time saver packs in there, but the gameplay was fun and it was definitely a good single player experience. Resident Evil 2 Remake was super dope. I think the only like things you can buy that were extra were either the DLCs, which now that I think about it, they might have been free, like the extra map packs. But also the skins. You can get some cool skins. And also, so it'd be skins like the 1992 original skin of Leon and Claire, which was pretty dope. And then some other stuff too, which is pretty cool. The Hitman series is pretty dope. You know, they start off a little shaky with the episodic releases, trying to get money out of you or having you buy it all in one. But they went away with that. I think that was Square Enix's model that they were trying to do with it. Now that IO Interactive owns it completely, they are the ones that are releasing it as a full game now, which is pretty dope. Dope thing about that, too, is that if you own Hitman 1, 2, and 3, you can play the older levels of Hitman 1 and 2 and 3 with all the upgrades and updates that they added, far as like people seeing, you know, reflections and the different like graphical enhancements that they've done. Like, it's pretty dope. Mafia Definitive Edition was a great gaming experience. It was pretty dope to play that, be engrossed in that world. The graphics were amazing. Even like it showed like how far technology had come, especially with those the last gen consoles now, like the Xbox One X and the PS4 Pro and stuff like that. Like, it was really, really nice. And like, they didn't like try to push anything on you. You can buy that game outright. You can honestly, I think you could buy the trilogy for $60 and you can get Mafia Definitive Edition. Sorry. Mafia 2 Definitive Edition, quote unquote. It was a piece of shit. It didn't run on my Xbox. And Mafia 3 Definitive Edition, which I actually just beat. It's pretty good. It fell victim to that mid-2010s open world trope, which is a lot of bloat. But it was a good story, though, overall. And last but not least, I mentioned them earlier, but Sony has really pushed a lot of great single player experiences with their games and not been too predatory with the live service shit, the multiplayer modes. They really focus on that first. Unfortunately, it does come at the expense of crunch. They've seen that with The Last of Us 2 and probably with some other games we just haven't heard about, like with their bigger first party games. But their single player games are fucking amazing. Like Ratchet and Clank, Marvel Spider-Man, Miles Morales, God of Wars, all of them, you know, it's been pretty dope. Let me not forget the indie games. A lot of indie games are really good at not having like predatory microtransactions and having great single player experiences, especially like some of those like walking simulators and stuff like that. They have good, good experiences for people to basically get lost in, you know? So single player games are dope, man. That's it. Long story short. All right, y'all. So I just want to go on a hot topic rant real quick and just talk about something that's been on my mind recently. Let's talk about Goku. So Goku is a lot of things. Greatest fighter in the Dragon Ball universe. Last of his kind. Probably a world-eating champion. But what he isn't is a great father. Goku spends countless hours training, literally dying after or during every fight he has. Those bigger fights, I mean. The ones that expand like, you know, like 10 to 20 episodes. You know, the arcs that they make the shows around of, the seasons at least. So he dies after those or during every fight and just leaves his kid fatherless. That's some stupid shit. Now, I know some of y'all are like, what you mean Goku a bad dad? He wasn't there for like 8 years of his son's life and missed a few years of Goten's life. But this guy does a lot of stuff so no one can hurt his family. He saves the world. It's like, all right, I get you. But you know who else spent almost a decade away from their kids to make sure that nobody hurts their family and they're good? Dads in prison. Now, I ain't saying all dads are in prison. Like, if a nigga did some wild, wild shit, some, like, you know, unexcusable stuff, then, like, yeah, you can't compare them to Goku. But if a nigga was, like, selling drugs or something, you got to put him to the same standard. Put him up to the same standard as Goku. Honestly, y'all got to stop putting Goku up on a higher standard than a drug dealing dad. Because a drug dealing dad is actually better because at least he's contributing to his household. This dude, Goku, didn't have no job, he had no fucking money, he was just fighting and destroying planets, and he was doing a lot of deforestation in planets. This nigga destroyed Namek. Y'all remember Namek? That shit gone, bro. That shit gone. That shit gone. R.I.P. Namek. So yeah, fuck Goku. You're a bad dad. All right, so that was today's episode of Gaming While Black. Be sure to check out all the other stuff. If you like this episode, be sure to give us a heart or a like or a thumbs up on your streaming platforms or 5 stars on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. I don't know which one it is. I don't use too much Apple, but I'm on there, so it's all good. If you want to find out any more stuff, ask me any questions, you know, have any insights, you know, argue with me about Goku. Be sure to follow me on Instagram. My handle is Black Lumberjack. That's BlackLumberjack on Instagram and Twitter. And be sure to like and follow the Gaming While Black podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Handle is Gaming While Black podcast on Instagram and GWB Poddy, PODDY on Twitter. And as always, it's been your favorite hood rat with the heart of gold, Cortez Washington, signing off. Have a good night. Keep gaming, y'all.